141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big weekend of Scottish football. It's As You Were at the top with Celtic and Rangers beating Hearts and Kilmarnock. Now on to the Old Firm with Philippe Clement unhappy about Brendan Rodgers' suggestion of having fun. Livingston are relegated and the lower leagues come to a close. And Lawrence Shankland is the Player of the Year with David Watson winning the Young Player Award. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Congratulations to Lauren Shanklin, to David Watson, to John McGlynn in their awards last night. Congratulations too to Graham Souness, a PFA Scotland Special Merit Award last night. And big congratulations to the tailor who came up with a wonderful combination of a dark grey velvet suit jacket and a black collar, which he managed to flog to Mark Wilson and to Fraser Wishart to go to the same do on the same night. In the immortal words of Brendan Rodgers, let's have fun.
It was like a Clyde One Super Scoreboard fashion show gone wrong, I have to say. But on more serious matters, Andy, a proper big weekend. It's just that stage of the season. Everything's happening, moves being made. It's As You Were at the top. Teams are getting relegated, seasons are finishing, awards are getting dished out.
Like you said, As You Were at the top, and I think Rangers would be slyly hoping that Hearts could do the hat-trick over Celtic this season, but it wasn't to be. Not just points, but quite significantly, it could be goal difference as well. Very surprising that by the end of the weekend, Celtic are still five ahead in the goal difference. I'm sure there'll be a lot more talked about that. And is it too early to already start to murmur and talk about this huge fixture that we've got in store for us next weekend? Because, wow, what a game it's going to be.
It's never too early.
Ross County, Motherwell.
Andy Halliday's looking forward to it already. 01419511025 is the number that you need to get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. If it's old fashioned Monday night reflection on the weekend, you would start yesterday. Rangers fans, a 4-1 win, that's a convincing scoreline. Did you see enough in the performance? Maybe harder to gauge against 10 men. Quite a few talking points and controversies in that match as well, if you want to analyse some of those. Celtic fans, is that roughly maybe getting to the territory of one of the better performances this season? How good was it to see Kyogo maybe get back to his best and others? How significant a win do you think it might be? And how does it gear everything up for this weekend? Brendan Rodgers says they're going to have fun. What did he mean by that? Well, Philippe Clement certainly isn't happy, so you can wade in on the war of words there as well. 01419511025. What do you make of that side of things? What do you make of Lauren Shanklin being Player of the Year, David Watson being Young Player? Livingston fans, we'd love to hear from you. Such a great period of punching above your weight in the top flight comes to an end. How do you look back on that era and anything else? The race for Europe, you look at St Mirren at the weekend. It really is all happening. So pick up the phone, 0141 951 1025. You shouldn't really need any incentive, but to whet your appetite, these two will give you firstly their result of the weekend.
Well, I'll go first. Roger was at the game and I'm going to go with Ross County. Resurgence in performance and results since Don Kirby's got the job, especially at Dingwall. They've made it a bit of a fortress at home. You know, it always felt it was going to be a nail-biting tough game going into it, but you know, managed to get the win. I think that's the first time we've been out at the bottom two for a long, long time. Now we've got 2 points between them and St Johnston, and it was a massive game for them at the weekend, a big 3 points.
Well, producer John has asked me to pick Falkirk's Invincibles, so I'm going to go for St Mirren. It was a terrific win at Dundee. It was a real 6-pointer. Dundee could have gone above them into fifth place, could have gone into pole position for that Conference League qualification place. And you think of Dundee's last two home games, 0-0 with Rangers, and they pushed Celtic really hard. And St Mirren went there, were 3-0 up, and coasted it, and they'll deserve to get back into Europe for the first time since the 80s.
You first on this one, for reasons that will become clear. Goal of the weekend.
Goal of the weekend.
Don't steal it, Roger.
Oh, could I? Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
No,
I know where Andy's going. I'll go for Tom Lawrence, off the bench. And as a couple of people said afterwards, that showed what Tom Lawrence can do. I think in his couple of years at Rangers, Rangers supporters would probably say they haven't quite seen enough of that from Tom Lawrence. But when he does it very well.
I was getting pressure from as early as 5 o'clock on Saturday evening to make sure you chose the right goal. The biggest debate was which one of Motherwell's goals were you going to go for. Don't let your adoring public down.
Well, you know I love a team goal, and there was a couple of great team goals in there, but I mean, The only thing I would say to Sam Nicholson, who is the winner of my goal of the weekend, was, because you know I'd done that a couple of months earlier, so you could have picked up an award last night.
The voting was closed.
The voting was already closed, but listen, that was a goal of the season contender, no doubt about it. Found a lovely pocket of space on the half turn, could not have caught it any sweeter. And it's one of them, Gordon, I think you'll agree, Roger, it just always looks better when it goes in off the other side of the bar. That just goes into the top corner. It's still a great strike, but
how could you not agree? It's not a matter of that. It just looks so much better, doesn't it? It looks better.
Even better, barring in than posting in as well. Posting in doesn't look as good. But oh, what a strike.
Love it. Anyway, howler of the weekend. Let's turn it negative.
Do you know what? It's almost getting to the point that it feels as if I'm picking on him, but I'm going Fabio Silva. I think I gave him it last Monday as well for his tapping against Hearts when he ended up falling, but I don't get that celebration at all. I really don't. I think it's disappointing to see. Needless to say as well, it was an equaliser he's had, so I think the first thought's to get the ball back to the spot and try and get a second. I know it was very close to half time, but no, that reaction, I thought it was really poor. I think as footballers, you know, we get our critics at times, but sometimes we are our own biggest critics. And I don't think Fabio Silva can feel himself as if he's done enough at Rangers over the last few games. So to have a dig at the fans like that, I thought it was really poor.
Wonder if you've got thoughts on that, Rangers fans. You can share it, Roger.
I'll go for Rocky Bashiri with an honourable mention for Jojo Wallacott. As Andy said, it was at Dingwall on Saturday. Hibs were coasting, and quite what comes over them. Rocky Bashiri's clearing header was atrocious. And then the clearance or pass out or whatever you want to call it from Wallacott, the stand-in goalie, for the second goal. If Nick Montgomery loses his job in the summer, he'll look back on days like that and maybe understand why.
Top man, top performer, who gets the nod?
He got a bundle of these last year. I don't think he's had many off myself this year or even Roger, but I'm going Kyogo. And, you know, is this a real important time in the season where Kyogo's really hitting top form? It certainly looked that to me at the weekend. That looked like a proper Kyogo performance that we've seen last season. Proper live wire in the box, his movement off the ball, where he's at his best is playing on the last shoulder of defence, playing on the last line of defence. Tap-ins, runs in behind goals, all of the above. And I think the first goal for me was just a proper striker's instinct, poacher's instinct. But the second goal, that for me is Kyogo at his best. Take nothing away from what was an unbelievable pass from Matt O'Reilly, but yeah, Kyogo was back to his best.
I'll go Simon Murray. Outstanding for Ross County. He, I don't know where he gets his energy from. He chases everything. He's on the end of everything. He hit the woodwork twice. He scored the equalising goal. And if Ross County are going to get out of this, and the last three home games up there, I don't want to worry you, Andy, going there on Saturday, last three home games, beaten Hearts, beaten Rangers, beaten Hibs. That's the kind of form that can keep them in the Premiership.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number you need. So come on down, get in touch. Ibrox yesterday, Kilmarnock sending off penalties, VAR checks, as many as you can imagine. It's as you were at the top, because Celtic were convincing winners on Saturday. What do you want to pick through from that? Livingston relegated, awards dished out by the PFA last night. It is all there. Let's kick off with Thomas, who is on the line. How are you, Thomas?
Gordon, how you doing?
Good. What did you take away from that weekend then? There was a lot going on.
Hi, Roger. The weekend was absolutely brilliant, Gordon. Back to our best. Especially, I feel like Hearts, you know, I thought that came and made a game of it, and you know, we just brushed them aside. It was just absolutely, the performance was brilliant. O'Reilly and Kyogo in particular, Kyogo's probably one of the best Kyogo's played for a long while. You know, he's two goals, and obviously the build up play for the goals, Matt O'Reilly and McGregor, and you know, it was just absolutely fantastic to put us in good stead for the game at weekend.
Yeah, well, Andy gave him his performer of the week, so I'll throw it over to you first, Roger. It's 19 goals for Kyogo this season. It's hardly a dreadful amount. It's 13 in the league. You've got a couple of Champions League goals and so on. But if you're talking about timing, I don't think Thomas will be the only Celtic fan that's quite excited about the prospect that he's saved up his busy spell for the next few games.
Yeah, and if you're going to warm up for Rangers coming to Celtic Park, then that was Thomas is right. It does stand Celtic in very good stead. You know, Joe Hart has made a couple of good saves. The back four has kept a clean sheet. Matt O'Reilly has had one of his better performances again. Kyogo's got a couple of goals. James Forrest looked sharp again. Maeda came off the bench to a rousing ovation, and Callum McGregor looked as if he was edging back. There was that run back. There was that challenge to win the ball back that seemed to get Brendan Rodgers and all the Celtic fans on their feet. So 7 days out from the Old Firm game, that's just the kind of performance Celtic would have wanted.
Yeah, definitely that. I think a big issue Celtic have had this season is having their best team on the pitch. You know, the likes of Callum McGregor and Hatate and Carter Vickers and these boys being injured for periods of time. You actually look going into the game next week, they've got all of them available. They've even got the boost of the return of Dyson Maeda yesterday, which I think all Celtic fans will agree is a lot of his best performances have come in the Old Firm. So it'll be interesting to see, especially with the upturn of form that James Forrest has had, whether Dyson Maeda actually gets a nod going into next week.
It's a bit weird that he did a 10k up and down the touchline before coming on
and still never had any sweat on his forehead.
I thought it was just showing off. Thomas, is that the hope? Do you feel like that's the type of performance? You know, Brendan Rodgers has spoken about Celtic getting their trophy heads on and, you know, coming to the boil at this time of the season. Do you think that's what you're witnessing? Do you think you're going to see that in what would be an almost title clinching victory come this weekend?
I mean, just the performance on Saturday was one of our better performances. You know, obviously we haven't been great this season. We've had to kind of for victories, but obviously this weekend it was just the performance was absolutely brilliant. And on that, I think obviously he's got a dilemma with Dyson Maeda and James Forrest. I'd stick with Forrest. I know obviously Maeda's, he was not in his pace or trouble. I just feel that Forrest has come on to a game as well.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, a lot of the reasons that Celtic lost twice to Hearts is they got big moments wrong in both of those games. You know, soft set piece goals, sendings off, missed penalties, all that sort of stuff. And granted, the referee plays a part when it comes to sendings off. But this time, you know, it's not like they had it all their own way. They needed Joe Hart to make a particularly good save early on. Kyogo showing that clinical side. Look, Rangers did respond, and we'll get onto that. But at 5 o'clock on Saturday, certainly, for a while, it felt like a bit of a statement performance.
It did. And listen, Celtic had an escape inside about 50 seconds, didn't they? That immediate Hart's chance. Joe Hart did make a couple of saves. Hearts did ask a couple of questions. But at the end of the day, Celtic have won the game 3-0. They're in very good nick. I do think Dyson Maeda will start against Rangers on Saturday lunchtime. That doesn't necessarily mean at the expense of James Forrest. It might be the expense of Nicholas Kuhn. But I just think Maeda, I think his course and distance in the fixture, I think he's in James Tavernier's head to a degree. And that's one reason you would start him if you were Brendan Rodgers for me. Celtic will go into the game as favourites. You can never call what's going to happen to these games, Gordon. You know that yourself. But I think Celtic will probably go in as favourites.
Monday night's early to be arguing over the team selection for Saturday, but it's one of those weeks. Thank you to Thomas. Let's bring in William, who's a Rangers fan. What's your point tonight, William?
Hi there, guys. How's you doing tonight?
Good.
Hi, William.
Good stuff. It was just to phone up to actually agree with Andy about his blunder of the weekend regards to Fabio Silva. That was actually something that I wanted to actually call up tonight there and obviously talk about, because obviously I was at the game at the weekend, didn't really notice it at the time really until half time. Then I looked at the replay and I'm like, not having that, because I sit at the opposite end of the ground there, so it was quite difficult to see celebration. But when I looked it back, I thought, you know, just send him back down to Wolves today. I thought it was embarrassing. It reminded me a lot of a celebration that Josh Windass done away at Partick Thistle in 2018, where he shushed the fans in a game away at Partick Thistle a number of years ago. You just don't do that. It's not on. There's been criticism of his performances in recent weeks and the teams for good reason, because we've went from a position of being in pole position to win a title to making a mess of it, as usual, which is not surprising with that group of players. But to do that to the fans and basically tell them to shut up after scoring an equalising goal against Kilmarnock when you need to get on and win the game, I just think it's not on. I'd be happy if I never saw him play for Rangers again. I thought it was a joke.
Well, the beauty of the live stream is there a visual element for anyone who is unaware. Do you want to do the Fabio Silva celebration, Andy Halliday? Do you want to act it out? Going to speak into the mic though.
Hello.
Doesn't really work in radio, does it?
No, it doesn't.
So you sort of Roger, most people have seen
it. It's the Pac-Man. I like to call that the Pac-Man.
He sort of circles his hand round as if he's pointing to everybody in the stadium. He then turns, points to the name in the back of his shirt, and then gives it the old, as Andy Halliday says, you know, the talking with the hand.
Which is laughable.
I've seen people trying to put up a defence, and maybe he's hitting out outside critics. Maybe it's not aimed at the Rangers fans. But it didn't look brilliant. Much the proof being, Andy Halliday didn't like it, William didn't like it, and loads of others didn't. So even if you've left enough room, even if we give him the benefit of the doubt, if he's left enough room for that ambiguity, probably wasn't worth doing.
It wasn't worth doing. I believe there are people internally at the club unhappy with it as well. The bottom line, and you don't have to worry about him too much longer, William, there's more chance of Long John Silver leading the line for Rangers next season. He will be packed back off to Wolves. He has not been very good. He wouldn't be near the team if Sima or Cortez or Matondo were fit. I think Philippe Clement has kept him in the side on a sort of needs-must basis. He did score the goal to equalise yesterday, but he hasn't impressed me since he came to the football club. And I think if any one of the previously mentioned players are available for Saturday, I'm not sure he'll be starting at Celtic Park either, because I'm not sure that's the environment in which Fabio Silva would flourish.
Yeah, would that worry you, William, if he was kept in for that game?
Massively. I think, to be fair, that the weekend's a massive worry anyway, just because we've pretty much not got a lot of options to choose from, particularly in attacking sense. I don't think Sima or Matondo will be back for the weekend, although you never know, one of them might be, I don't know. But yeah, to potentially obviously him and Dessers as two-thirds of a forward line at the weekend is not great. I don't really have high hopes for Saturday. I'm sorry if that makes me sound a little bit defeatist, but recent games against Celtic, and particularly recent games at Celtic Park, you know, there's been no evidence to suggest that the weekend will be any different. The players, I suppose, need to try and believe that they can get something. I don't really think they do as well. I think also Roger mentioned about Maeda being caught in Tavernier's head, particularly if Maeda starts for Celtic. I think he could cause Tavernier a lot of problems, as he has done before. So, yeah, I'm a bit concerned about who's going to start at the weekend, than Fabio Silva as well. But yeah, it's certainly not a constant mood that I'm feeling anyway.
Let's try and look at the other side of it. It was a 4-1 win. It was against one of the better teams in the league, quite clearly, a team that can come to Glasgow and cause difficulties. Now, they were down to 10 men for a long time, so that obviously changes the challenge. Why is there not a bit more, even a bit more optimism from you after at least coming through a fixture that some people maybe thought you could slip up in?
I think the reason being is because a lot of the optimism has kind of fallen away from how the rest of the season is going to go in general, because we've made a mess of the title so much. I know it's only 3 points, I know there's 3 games left, but even if we did win at the weekend, because Celtic are, 5-6 goals ahead of us on goal difference, we're still needing them to kind of drop points along the way, unless we can win one of our remaining games, or both our remaining games, 5 or 6-0, which is unlikely. But I think it's just because of the way things have gone since March onwards, when we lost to Motherwell, because of the way we've kind of basically let the title slip and gave it back into Celtic's hands, it's theirs to lose now. I think it's just that as well, because I felt the atmosphere was a little bit flat at the weekend, to be honest, in terms of the overall mood of it. And yeah, I think it's just, even though we did win at the weekend, it is a good win. Kilmarnock are a good side. To beat them 4-1, to come from behind, is good. But I think the sort of negativity and the maybe lack of confidence is maybe stemming from the results prior to that, because we have made such a mess of the title, I think.
Let's hear a bit from both managers, because it's important they're linked here, as I'm sure you know what's coming. Brendan Rodgers spoke after Celtic's game, saying all the focus does go to Saturday, much like Williams, and he says they'll have a bit of fun this weekend.
80% of it now is mental. Physically, in the main, they're in a good place, really good place. This stage of the season, it's all mentality. And mentally, you can see we're in a really good place. So, but take nothing for granted. Keep our composure. We've got a lot of work to do in the week. Get our plan ready, and then next Saturday we're gonna have a bit of fun then.
And Philippe Clement was, of course, asked about it, and he wasn't too impressed.
They did something that I would never say about an opponent, but okay. We will see. It's not really respectful towards my team, that I think. So I will never say things like that about an opponent.
What do you make of it? 01419511025. Let us know right now. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here reflecting on the weekend's action, already building up to next weekend, which was inevitable. Not only did we have big results and good goals and mistakes, we had lots of VAR action as well. We've had a bit of a, has it quite descended into war of words? Come on, you're the tabloid man. Is that a war of words between Philippe Clement and Brendan Rodgers?
By the way, it is.
I'm sure it is by your book.
It's a fantastic war of words. Out of absolutely nothing.
And then this week we'll spend the week asking other people what they made of what Clement said in response to Brendan Rodgers.
You're catching on to this game. You're doing very well.
That's just what this week's all about, is it not?
It's absolutely terrific.
You love this side of Andy, don't you?
No, hate it. Hate all the point scoring and stuff.
On that note, let's bring in Mark.
That's far more entertaining than the football. You watched football in this country.
Do you remember the last Old Firm?
That is true. Let's bring in Mark, who's in Amsterdam. How's it going, Mark?
It's going well. Thank you for taking the call.
Pleasure. Just before the break, we played comments from Brendan Rodgers first and then a response from Philippe Clement. What's your take on that?
Short-term memory for some Rangers supporters out there. I remember a few months ago, Philippe Clement making a bold statement that Rangers were going to win the league, which seems a bit more disrespectful to Brendan Rodgers than anything that Brendan Rodgers made a joke about this weekend.
I must admit, I don't know explicitly Mark's example. Maybe he did. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. What can you do more? Is there any more context, Mark? What was said?
I mean, the context is that I remember this being said and actually capturing it on video, but also you guys talk about it on your program. For anybody that wants to look it up, there's a YouTube video where you talk about Philippe Clement's Rangers will win the league comments. Granted, I'm probably simplifying his remarks and maybe taking them out a little bit out of context themselves, but I do think it's a little bit short-term memory when a manager comes over, has been in the door for a couple of weeks, Celtic's going through a rough patch of form, and then is making comments like, we're going to win the league. And then this moral outrage about comments about having a little bit of fun next weekend. There seems to be a little bit of gamesmanship on both sides, but also I feel a little bit like this is an example of what's okay for you is not good for me, and a little bit of hypocrisy.
We heard them both, Roger, Hannah. What did you make of what Brendan Rodgers said, and what did you make of Philippe Clement's response?
Well, initially Saturday night I was coming back from far off Dingwall and I heard Brendan's comments on the show. He was talking, I think, about not watching the Rangers game yesterday. He was going to take the family to the beach, and then he was going to build up to the game against the weekend, game against Rangers at the weekend, and have some fun. And it didn't particularly bother me. I heard Philippe Clement's response yesterday. I would actually have liked to have heard the 10 or 15 seconds prior to the response, Gordon, to see how the question was actually couched to Philippe Clement, what he was actually answering, if you know what I mean. But I'm not sure he's taken it the way that Brendan Rodgers meant it, but as a media man, long may it continue, and I hope it rumbles on to the two of them are put up to speak in the eve of the game on Friday. That'll be a right good Old Firm build-up week.
Andy, it is one of those that, you know, this is like the currency in Glasgow, this stuff. We put the clip of Brendan Rodgers up. It genuinely got millions of views from Brendan Rodgers. Philippe Clement responded, and I have to admit, I did probably what a lot of, when you see the headline of Brendan Rodgers says they're going to have some fun at the weekend, you do get sort of drawn in and you think, what's this? We just listen to the full clip. Is there really much in it? It's not like he says we're going to have fun with them or we're going to have fun with Rangers. He's kind of talking about his own team. Maybe I've picked it up wrong.
Again, I suppose it's the way you perceive it. Because
how do you perceive it?
Well, for me, it doesn't bother me one bit. It doesn't faze me at all. If he says we're going to have some fun next week, we're going to have fun next weekend, so be it. But listen, the way I perceive it could be different, and clearly Philippe Clement's not too well. But
so what do you think? He's been easily upset by it? It's got under his skin?
Or maybe he's using that as a way to rouse his own players and actually take it out of context deliberately from Brendan Rodgers and try and use it as a... as a motivational tool towards his players. I don't know, but like I says, I can only go off the way I perceived it, and it doesn't bother me at all. But what I will say is, as I've said it loads of times before, I hate all this point scoring stuff that managers and clubs and Twitters and all that are doing across Scotland, when ultimately just do your talking on the park. And like I says, I don't feel as if there was too much meant by what Brendan Rodgers says. But listen, we all look forward to the game and the fixture. I never like when it gets to this stage.
You need managers saying controversial incendiary things. Remember Craig Levein saying it was a natural order in Edinburgh when Hearts were ahead of Hibs?
Again, that's point scoring, that's all that is. That's for Hearts fans to say, oh brilliant, he gets it and all that.
100%, nah. That's great. Long may it continue.
Just get the win stuff. Get the win, get the 3 points.
You need to learn to embrace it for the madness that it is. So, I mean, Philippe Clement says it was disrespectful. You don't see anything disrespectful in the initial comments?
No, I don't. But listen, as Andy says, if Philippe Clement wants to take that and use it as a positive for Rangers, if he thinks it would make 1% of a difference, an upturn in Rangers' performance at the weekend, if he wants to put this in the minds of his players, if he wants to adopt a siege mentality, you need to remember, Rangers are going into Celtic Park Saturday lunchtime without a single Rangers supporter in the place. So it will be an opportunity for Philippe Clement to stir that up into the heads of the Rangers players. They're all against us, you know, they're wanting to have fun at our expense. Let's go out and show them, type thing. Then, listen, sometimes that's what managers do, Gordon.
What's your theory, Mark? Is that what Philippe Clement is doing, or is he genuinely disrespected or annoyed or angry about it? Has it got under his skin, or is it a technique?
I think it's a combination of both, actually. I think his body language post, I think it was the Ross County when he walked up the tunnel, a couple of his interviews, he looks a little bit perturbed earlier in the year when I think there was a win at Parkhead. He kind of showed, I think, some of his true colors. I think it is getting under his skin, and I think there's a pressure there that's been... I think everybody's talking about this old firm having the most pressure in more than a decade, but I think it's getting to them. I really do think from his body language that it's getting under his skin.
Thank you very much to Mark in Amsterdam. What about your thoughts out there? Because I saw lots of tweets, so let's try and cover all grounds. Are there any Rangers fans out there who are a bit annoyed at what Brendan Rodgers said and who agree with Philippe Clement that it is disrespectful? We're here for you, so get your calls into us. 01419511025. What's Andrew and Ballock's take on it all?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi Andrew.
Hiya. I caught the tail end of Andy's comments with regards to Clement using it sort of a siege mentality type thing. I do think that's basically all this is, because to be honest, Brendan Rodgers doesn't mention Rangers at all. He's talking about his own team and talking about their mentality and where they're at the moment. And I think it was just a very flippant end of sentence comment. I don't think it was aimed at Rangers. I think it was just a collective, we're going to have some fun on Saturday. It's the biggest game in Scottish football. We've not had this for years, a game like this. And I think that's basically all that was meaning. And I think Clement is using it as a bit of, right, I'm going to use this to rile my team up. Because he doesn't actually talk about Rangers, and to say it's disrespectful to his team. And again, to go on Andy's other point, I think the most disrespectful thing that happened to Rangers this weekend was Fabio Silva's celebration. I think that's probably where Clement needs to use a bit of savvy around him and be saying, listen, don't be doing that. We need every bit of backing we can get to go over this line for this title. So you have somebody in your own camp doing that against your team, I think is far more disrespectful than anything Brendan Rodgers said, which to me was just a very flippant end of sentence comment. It was like Mark Wilson made a comment at the weekend saying that if Celtic don't beat Hearts, they don't deserve to win the title. And I think it was basically just a line to finish what he was talking about. I don't really think he meant if Celtic don't beat Hearts, they can't win the league. I don't think it was that at all. I think it was just a rounding off the sentence comment, and it's went mental, to be honest. I don't think it was meant in the way that it was.
I think that's an interesting comparison, because especially here, high-profile football figures like Brendan Rodgers and Mark Wilson, you know, people are going to hang on.
Is it not you?
They both said it, but I think Mark said it first. We do hang on their every word. I actually wonder if that's a really boring but accurate summation that Andrew says, where it's Brendan Rodgers just kind of looking for a way to round off what he's saying. And it doesn't need to be that much in it, but we won't hear the end of it, because Brendan Rodgers will now be asked what he meant by it, or he'll be asked about Philippe Clement's response, and Philippe Clement will now be asked about that come the end of the week.
Yeah, listen, It's very possible. 6 years ago last week, Steven Gerrard was paraded at Ibrox for the first time. New Rangers manager took over from Graham Murty. And he did a long address. He must have spoken to the broadcast media, the daily newspapers, the Sunday newspapers, every single Rangers fans blog. He must have spoken for hours. And his last words were, "Let's go." And that stuck with him all the way through. And he, as Andrew says, it was maybe just, it probably wasn't something he'd thought about before going in. It was just something to end his sentence. And that sort of stuck with him. Ange Postecoglou, end of a press conference one day, said, "We never stop." That stuck with him all the way through his Celtic career. So sometimes just little things like that.
So Hugh Keevans is going to come in here with a "Let's have fun" t-shirt on.
That's what I was going to say. Brendan Rodgers means stuck with "Let's have fun." That's not great.
It's not as catchy.
I think Hugh's more likely to have the Balotelli "Why Always Me" t-shirt.
It's not quite as catchy. Thanks to Andrew. On what about Scott then? We've been looking for a Rangers take on it. Scott, what do you think?
For me, it's all about how you perceive it. But to be honest, I don't know if it was me and I was a Rangers player, I'd be thinking, do you know what? They're thinking this is going to be easy. And if I was Clement, I'd be putting that in the dressing room and I'd be saying, look, we're going there, no fans. They think it's going to be easy. They're going to have a bit of fun. And they think they're going to win the title at Celtic Park. Because let's be honest, if they do get the win, then it's goal difference. Last two games, they need to lose both. I need to catch them goal difference. If we win that, which I say it's a big if, down the goal difference, and the next game is them away to Kilmarnock, and Rangers home at Dundee, it's really, yes.
Your line's gone a bit shaky from Scott and Falkirk. I think I can still hear him there. So Scott, ultimately, you do think it was a bit disrespectful then? You think Philippe Clement should use it that way?
I think so. To be honest, I don't know why he's saying it. We're going to have a bit of fun. Me, that does sound like, this is going to be a bit easy. And it's not going to be that hard to beat Rangers. And to be honest, look, everyone should just do their talking in the park. It should be, look, we've got the game at the weekend. It's obviously a title decider. As I said, if Celtic win, then I don't think there's a chance for Rangers to come back. If Rangers win it, as I said, the next game is pivotal. And then they're away to Kilmarnock. We're at home to Dundee. On goal difference, and it can be caught. So
put it up in the dressing room. It used to be pin it up. This is different. Would you play the audio file over the Bluetooth speaker? You know, things have moved on.
Yeah,
technology's moved on.
Which I do always say to players, I says, when you come up with comments like that, it's going to come back and bite you in the bum eventually. But it might not be next weekend, but it will happen soon. So, you know, say your words, be honest, be respectful, and then don't let anything come back to you, which ultimately always happens.
Yeah,
but I did chuckle.
But then the question mark is it respectful or not? That's what the debate
like
is.
Like I says, with that comment, I don't think there's any offence that should be taken towards it at all. But what I will say is Brendan Rodgers, I'd be amazed if he's having fun before the game. And I'm not saying, I think Celtic will win the game. I think they're favourites, but it's very hard to enjoy that fixture and have fun regardless of what side of the defence you're on.
Yeah, then that's probably the distinction here, Roger. Now we're getting very forensic. We will knock it in the head soon. Can you enjoy it? Are you meant to enjoy it?
No.
Because otherwise,
you can't enjoy it.
How can Brent, that Scott's kind of point, if you're saying you're going to enjoy it, it means you're taking it lightly. I don't know. I'm not sure, but
well, listen, Andy's been involved.
You're not allowed to have fun in Scottish football, basically.
It. No, I know what you mean.
The fear of losing much overrides the hope of winning. Absolutely. So I don't think you'll have any fun whatsoever until 5 o'clock if they win the game after the game.
You're right, they... He said stuff is quite, it's difficult to keep up with. I'm thinking back to the initial call that kicked this off. I've been racking my brains. I actually don't remember Philippe Clement saying they were going to win the league.
I don't either.
If someone wants to correct me, I'm more than willing. I get things
I think it was Cyril Dessers coming out and saying that Rangers are the best team in Scotland. I remember him saying that at one point.
I think he may have said it a couple of times, Andy.
Why are you saying that?
Anyway, thanks to Scott, 141-951-1025. Maybe we're maturing, we're probably not. It's 6:40, we've not even bemoaned referees yet. I'm sure we can do that at some point after a busy weekend or anything else that's out there. If you call right now, that's the ideal time, and I'll get you on after this.
Clyde One.
£1 million, make me a winner.
Win your share of £1 million.
Make me a winner.
Well done to Malcolm. He started the holiday weekend by winning £200,000 on Make Me a Winner. He was thinking of downsizing his house, but not anymore. He loves France. He's going to take a trip there, maybe around the rest of Europe. Go wild, why wouldn't you? You could be the winner of £75,000 tomorrow when we make another call, but you need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3pm on Tuesday, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £75,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. A war of words, Roger Hanna said, is brewing between Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement, and you seem to be getting involved in that on the phones. We are on Twitter as well. Lots of tweets coming in about various things. A few Hearts fans, Andy, want your thoughts in particular. I'm sure Roger Hanna's will be respected. A clip which is Callum McGregor, I think it's Kenneth Vargas. The allegation from those who are tweeting is that it's a stamp on Kenneth Vargas from Callum McGregor that's been missed, and it's a joke, and it should be retrospectively punished, and so on and so forth. And why are you not talking about this? And on we go. Do give us a call. I always say that it's much easier than me trying to spin plates and keep up with Twitter. But what do you think? Anything in it from what you've seen?
Yeah, am I right in saying that that wasn't on the highlights at the weekend?
I'm not sure.
Well, basically, for the one angle and clip I've seen, it doesn't look great, but there's no like conclusive evidence that he 100% stamps on him. Like, to me, like I said, doesn't look great. I would need to see more angles than that, to be honest.
Everyone's sending that same clip, Roger. I'm a bit like Andy, because, I mean, clearly from that view, Callum McGregor goes in the air, he comes down, and Vargas kind of writhes. I know this is not the only way you should look at these things, but...
Are you going to say reaction of teammates?
Yeah, well, I think if it's a stamp like that, I'd be hoping my teammates who are next to it are going to go absolutely crazy. Now, I always say this, just because they don't doesn't mean there's nothing in it, but I'd just like to see it from other angles.
Am I right in saying there's 7 camera angles in Celtic Park? So there must be more camera angles than the one we're seeing there. Like I say, it doesn't look great, but I couldn't say 100% he stamps on Kenneth Vargas there.
I remember Callum McGregor getting cemented in the Hearts game a few seasons ago, I think. So he's maybe wanting, you know, to get a bit of retribution. Again, but no, seriously, there doesn't look anything in it. The reaction of Hearts teammates maybe says it all. What I will say is, with all these camera angles, you don't get away with anything anymore. Look at poor old Lauren Shankland in the handball in the game. You know, he virtually told Kevin Clancy to give it because he knew VAR was going to do him.
I was surprised he never just blew a whistle and put it to the spot itself.
And again, this is part of the problem with VAR. There's so many of these what they call silent checks. Like, you don't know that. Because any experience I've had, and I can't say this for sure because I wasn't in there at the weekend, any time I've seen or listened to the VAR in action, it's constantly like, oh, hold on, what happened there? Take a look at that. Right, okay, nothing in it, move on. So you just don't know, and that's the difficulty that world football's kind of having. And then straight away, Shannon's tweeted, oh yeah, well, what about the high boot from, is it Lembakisa on James
I've
Forrest?
That,
and
yeah.
that wasn't included in the highlights, and that's the same as Yang's.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
I thought we did a couple of quiet VAR weekends, Gordon, but it seemed to flare up again. You know, you think the penalty in the Motherwell game, the penalty in the Aberdeen game, the penalty in the Celtic game, all manner of incidents with Stephen Kirkland, the VAR, the Rangers game yesterday. It sounds as if VAR's just getting itself cranked up and in good form for an Old Firm match.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, have you teamed me up there? Was that the yin and yang that you were trying to team me up? Apologies.
So nothing in the high boot for you?
No, not for me, no. Is that the suggestion that should be a red card?
I think that's certainly what people are trying to get at on Twitter, but I don't think it... It's funny because people... And this is just your own personal preference. People sometimes say, this wasn't even included in the highlights, as if there's something sinister there, whereas somebody quite innocently has probably thought that's such a nothing incident that it's not going in, but other people feel differently about it, which I get.
BBC each to their producer own. Was in a rush to get to the PFA dinner or something, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Each to their own, I have to say, on that. But, just generally speaking, I think what we do see across the board now, and I really don't think we need to argue about Yang and Tynecastle again. I feel like we've done it a lot, but Is high boot one of the new areas for inconsistency?
Yeah.
Not one in England at the weekend.
Yeah.
It's, you know, are the lawmakers or are the rest going to come to a point where, you know, either give them all or you don't, sort of thing. Anytime a high boot connects with a head, you give them all. Or was the one in England different because the head stooped down? This is that you end up going round and round.
This is the thing, and it is subjective. And again, a lot of it depends on the guidance that's given to referees, because guidance in a lot of things, like the high boots and like handballs, guidance sometimes changes between associations. So what the English referees are told might be different. There might be a different sort of burden, if you like, on Scottish refs than there is on English refs. And that might change as well as the season goes and the referees are getting different guidance from you know, their bosses.
Let's bring in Paul, who's a Celtic fan, on the line. How are you, Paul?
Not too bad, you?
Yeah, all good in here. What are you thinking tonight?
No, it just made me laugh that anybody can be sort of upset with Brendan's sort of throwaway comments around having a bit of fun. Because, no, as a Celtic fan, Celtic support, Celtic manager, we've had lots of fun with Rangers over the last sort of 10 years. No, I think he's putting a bit of pressure on Clement. Clement's a bit fragile, if you ask me. He's a bit like Alex Ferguson when you put pressure on the managers like Kevin Keegan and other managers. So I reckon he's just putting a wee bit of pressure on Clement. And instead of Clement coming out with a wee bit of class, he's come out with, well, he's struggling, isn't he? He doesn't know what to say. So it makes me laugh, but I think we will have fun with Rangers at the weekend, whether it's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, a dodgy penalty in the last 2 minutes, a VAR decision it goes for us, I don't care. But I think we will have fun with Rangers at the weekend.
I would love it if we beat them. I can just hear Philippe Clement now. I can see it, the big earphones on. But is that not the point, Paul? Because as a fan, you're saying we have had fun with Rangers in the past. You're referencing some of those heavy defeats that you've handed out. If that is what Brendan Rodgers meant, then Philippe Clement would be pretty annoyed at that. I thought the defence was, that's not what he meant.
Like, I watched the women's game earlier on, and the Rangers manager couldn't even say Celtic. She said them. Clement says them. But what them? We're Celtic. We're their neighbours. We're there with them. So this mentality that we're them, you can't say Celtic, you can't say Rangers, come on. No, grow up. And that's what Clement needs to do. He needs to grow up.
Mind you, Paul, Celtic can't say Old Firm.
Not Old Firm. Well, why not?
I don't know.
Liquidation. I do realise, you do know what realise that liquidation means. You know what I mean? Rangers died. Whether it be like,
you know, that's a great idea. Should we debate that? Will we debate that from now until the end of the show?
Actually, if we're going back, you know,
it's a joke, Paul. You're the one that's come on and said everybody should lighten up then you discover that Scottish football doesn't really have sense of humour.
I was thinking about if Rangers and Philippe Clement actually were wanting to get themselves annoyed at any comments from Brendan Rodgers, they should actually probably have got annoyed after the last Old Firm game at Celtic Park when Brendan said, you know, since I've ever been in Glasgow, you know, Rangers have been coming, and you know,
I thought that's all that got referenced at the time.
That
one as well.
Sort of thing, you know. I don't think there's anything at all in what he said after the Hearts game at the weekend. But I'm quite glad there's been a row about it.
I'm going to give you your opportunity, Andy Halliday. You don't like this stuff.
I'm not a fan.
You can have a minute on your soapbox to just tell us why this stuff should be overlooked. Why the football this week is going to be the main talking point.
Well, I don't like it because, listen, I love the fierceness of the rivalry. I love the rivalry in its entirety. But I think if you're a professional within it, whether that's a manager, a player, or whatever it may be, act the right way, act respectful. And again, I stress, I don't think that Brendan Rodgers' comments were disrespectful. I'm just saying, as players, as managers, there's no reason to give the opposition or whoever it may be a chance to let a comment bite you in the bum, whether it's next week, a year down the line, whatever it may be. Just watch the last Old Firm. Like I said, it's the best football game I've seen up and down the country, whether it's down south in England or Europe, wherever it may be, for everything. You know, atmosphere, drama, entertainment, standard of goals, mistakes, VAR, everything. Fantastic game. And that's what we know the Old Firm game can bring. And again, next week, I've no doubt it's going to be the same. there's no way that next week will be boring. Whether it's 0-0, 2-0, 1-0, 3-0, whatever it may be, you know it's going to be full of entertainment, full of drama, full of talking points. That's a certainty. And that's why we love the game so much.
Thank you, Paul. 0141 951 1025. You know it's a busy Monday when that first hour flies by and it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Here's the accolade you never knew you were looking for. Roger Hanna, Andy Halliday, and Kenny Miller for that matter, but he's not here, are aiming to be the Falkirk of Beat the Pundit. You're just weeks away from an invincible season. If you think you can throw the spanner in the works, that almost happened to Falkirk at the weekend, but not quite. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
So many talking points after a weekend like that one. Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here trying to pick their way through them. If you think they're missing something, they're not getting to something fast enough, phone up 01419511025. I mean, we've not even got round to a fairly controversial afternoon at Ibrox yesterday. If you want to have your thoughts there, Livingston's relegation, the battle for Europe, more of course on that title race and everything that goes along with it, whether it is mind games or not, pick up that phone right now and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. They are closing in. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday of becoming the Falkirk of Beat the Pundit. Can they go unbeaten? I mean, you did lose to Christopher in Ayrshire earlier.
No.
In the season, but there's a long running stewards inquiry hanging over that one.
No.
So yeah, but yours is legitimate, we think.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
100%
record. Where are Scotland playing their games again? Stuttgart, Cologne.
Let's not go back Cologne to that.
Cologne off. Right, we kind of go back to that.
Mönchengladbach,
Munich.
I had a bit of a nightmare on Friday. I think we went to the tiebreaker and the pundit won. Then we realised afterwards that the contestant actually won. The pundit was just too nice, just sat there and didn't put his hand up and say, oh, I think I got. And Hugh, he can pretend all he wants. He just sat there and acted like he got one of them right when he didn't. So let's hope it's a bit more
dear.
Straightforward tonight. David is in Easterhouse. How's it going, David?
Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. You ever played before?
No, I have not.
I love it. I love the confidence for people who've never played to take on one of the big dogs. I do like it. If it's heads, you will play Andy Halliday. If it's tails, it'll be Roger Hanna. It's a Euro we're flipping at the moment. It's one of Gordon DL's ahead of the trip to Germany. That's all he's got so far.
I was hearing a alarming chat that the Super Scoreboard, the plans are now, Andy, plans are now getting finalised, not just for travel, not just for the shows over there, but for accommodation over there. Twin rooms for a lot of the guys, I think.
All of them.
Andrew and Gabriel, the two top-notch reporters, together in a
Gordon,
twin room.
People think I'm at the wind-up. Gordon and Mark honestly are sharing a room for 12 days. I promise you this. People think I keep saying it for a laugh.
I hope Mark doesn't take that suit. I was expecting to pull a rabbit out of the pocket when I seen it.
It was quite something, wasn't it? You need to. On my Instagram, if you're that way inclined, you'll see Mark Wilson and Fraser Wishart wearing the same suit jacket to the PFAs last night. It was quite... It was quite quite an eye catcher.
If rabbits are all get pulled out of pockets in that room in Germany, I think you'll be very fortunate.
Moving on, heads, it's Andy, tails, it is Roger, and it is tails. I always forget which way round the Euro is, but it is, it's tails, Roger Hanna.
Cheers, David, all the best.
David.
Did I hear a yes?
Yeah, I think, did you celebrate that, David?
No, I want you to play Andy.
I'll play you right now, David, no problem.
Calm down, Andy. Right, let's give Roger some greatest hits radio in his lugs. And we'll get you up and running, David. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No, boy.
Good man, your 30 seconds starts now. What was the score in the Rangers v Celtic women's game this afternoon?
0-0.
Who won League 2 Player of the Year last night?
Callum Morrison.
Name any of the Australians that play for Hibs.
Pass.
Who had the number 1 shirt at Celtic before Joe Hart came to the club?
Pass.
Which team will East Kilbride face in the playoff match next week? Barry Ferguson, James McFadden and Shea Adams are all connected by which club?
Blackburn.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Colin Hendry or Richard Gough?
Richard Gough.
Okay. Roger Hanna, can you hear us? Roger Hanna.
That's the best song.
Oh, you're taking
that,
well there.
That station's had for a long time.
It is, and I actually couldn't concentrate on it either, Andy, because I got a text from Hugh Keevan saying I was just having fun.
What were you listening to that made
Punk.
You so delighted?
Daft Punk.
Right, okay.
One more time.
You've got 30 seconds. You ready?
Go for it.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. What was the score in the Rangers v Celtic women's game this afternoon?
No.
Who won League Two Player of the Year last night?
Gregory Buchanan.
Name any of the Australians that play for Hibs.
Oh, Martin Boyle.
Who had the number one shirt at Celtic before Joe Hart?
Vasilis Barkas.
Which team will East Kilbride face in their playoff this week? Barry Ferguson, Shea Adams and James McFadden are connected by which club?
Birmingham.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Colin Hendry or Richard Gough?
Richard Gough.
The Diamonds are the nickname of which club?
Airdrie.
What are you thinking, David?
He's beating me, I think.
He's fast. And even though he starts from minus one, I think speed is the key to catching Roger Hanna.
That's a 10 again, Roger. Think so? Aye. That's a 10 out of 10 you're going for.
Okay. What was the score in the Rangers-Celtic women's game this afternoon? 0-0. You both got it. Not a classic in front of goal. Celtic with a big goal difference cushion, so it is a result that sort of suits Celtic. You kind of expect them both to win the remaining games, although Rangers play Glasgow City. So it certainly was a result that suited Celtic slightly more. You both got it. I feel for you, David. Like, your lower league knowledge was above average, but you just went for the wrong division. Callum Morrison was League One and Gregor Buchanan was League Two.
Two great speeches.
Yeah, they were in good form. I always think the lower league award to the PFA is risky business. They've had a fun, to quote Brendan Rodgers, day out before. Then they go up on stage and pick up the reward. So that's Roger Hanna level, because it wipes out his minus one. The Australians that play for Hibs, I mean, he is an Australian, honorary. Martin Boyle, well done. Roger Hanna goes one in front, or Nectarios Triantis, Lewis Miller. Yeah. So Roger Hanna's one up. Barkas was the previous Celtic number one. Roger is two up. You hung in there, David. You knew that East Kilbride would play Stranraer, but Roger Hanna got Birmingham for Barry Ferguson, James McFadden, Shea Adams. You, again, you hung in there. Richard Gough's got 10 more Scotland caps, I think, than Colin Hendry. And the Diamonds are the nickname of Airdrie. So a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for Roger, minus his 1. And it is another comfortable win. But David, you did all right. Thanks for taking part.
No bother. Thank you.
Good man. Are we going for the 10? It's getting a bit boring now, quite frankly. How many flowers appear on the St Mirren badge?
Oh, for goodness sake.
For goodness sake, that's right.
Four?
Nah, it's two. Hopeless.
That's
a dud. What a dud.
Shocking
rubbish
question.
Hopeless.
What was the last one?
Who was the last full-time Scottish Rangers manager?
Full-time Scottish. So,
but you don't get that long,
do
you?
No,
Ali McCoy.
Right.
Ali McCoyst.
That's a bad question. That's at mum.
Sorry, I had great Murphy in my head there. He was never full time, was he? That was Alan McCoy's.
Yeah,
just a couple of interns. Scottish.
Yeah, played for Scotland.
Played for Scotland. Yeah.
Isn't he top Scottish?
That's so. Have you heard Scott McTominay and Lyndon Dykes recently?
I never knew he played for Scotland either.
He was a Scotland headstand world champion.
I know that, but
don't forget that. Were you playing that day?
Where was he born? Where was he born? No, he was not born in Scotland.
Do you want me to look it up right now? Because the
just the accent,
the nation's on the edge of the seat.
That reminds me of Mark for Amsterdam, the earlier caller. He wasn't even Scotland either.
Saltburn by the Sea.
Yeah, and lovely place. You ever been to Saltburn?
I have not. Where
fantastic
might that be?
Place up near Middlesbrough,
southeast
on
of Hartlepool.
Yeah,
apparently.
On the coast.
Yeah, you used to live down that neck of the woods.
Lovely place, aye.
You must have been in Saltburn, like, living down there.
Don't know.
Great place.
Ring a bell.
Where did you stay when you lived just in Middlesbrough?
Ingleby Barwick, it was called. And then when I got a wee bit more money,
is that a nice part of the world, is it?
A lot nicer than Ingleby Barwick.
Right, okay. Anyway, I don't know why
that was my £65 a week down there. Flat Ingleby Barwick.
What's about then? Saltburn and Yarn, is it Nunthorpe?
Nunthorpe, yep,
yeah,
lovely.
Nice bits of the world.
Billingham.
But you just turned on this show and you think, like, you're used to us talking nonsense, but this is like
for the Teesside Tourist Board.
Taking it to a new level anyway. More Beat the Pundit
fun. Can I tell you something about Yarm?
I would love you to.
Do you know, Mendieta, when he retired, still stayed in Yarm. That's incredible, isn't it? A guy from wherever he's from in Spain, they still stay in Yarm.
See, I assumed he's from Valencia. He's probably not, is he?
Still stayed in Yarm for 5-6 years, whatever it was.
Just loved the place.
Yeah,
I liked Mendieta.
I was a player.
Yeah,
he was a player.
Anyway, right, I really don't know what just happened.
Do you know who was a player? Oh, this is going back to Scotland related. watched Brighton at the weekend. Billy Gilmour,
was he good? Because I didn't see it. And I'm obviously excellent. We're all hoping that all the internationals,
especially
peaked.
With the injuries, we're getting
Billy Gilmour back fine. Grant Hanley back fine. Aaron Hickey, you would hope might go. Stuart Armstrong, you would hope might go.
Aaron Hickey's a big one.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway. Billy Gilmour was excellent the weekend.
26 players. You may get a call yet?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, right. No.
Producer Callum, mate.
I'm not sure either. 01419511025 is the number you need to pick up that phone and get in touch as we look back on the weekend, look ahead to the week that's coming up, because there's quite a lot, in case you hadn't noticed. Playoffs as well. Looking forward to that tomorrow. Roger Hannah.
The Diamonds
are involved. And the Jags.
The Diamonds are involved. I think it'll be good as well. They both rested players on Friday night. They both lost away from home on Friday night. Neither would be particularly bothered on Friday night. But this is the big one. Brian Graham, Championship Player of the Year last night at the PFA Awards.
There were loads of good stories last night. Do you know what? And by the way, phone up about them if you want to elaborate later. Do you know what I thought? Brian Graham, at the, you know, the end
brilliant.
Of his career,
brilliant. 36
probably, well, admitted last night that he would have been worried that, okay, if I'm the coach of the women's team, is that going to take away from my playing career and vice versa. Then he goes and gets named the best player in the Championship. Lauren Shankland, the first non-Old Firm winner in 11 years, the first ever winner from Hearts, would you believe. And what was it, 5-6 years ago, he was there picking up the League One
6 years ago, he won
Player of the Year award, and now he's named top player in the whole country, as voted for as well by his fellow pros. There were a lot of good stories in there.
There were, Brian Graham among them. I think the key to his success this season has been you walking his dog at 6:45 of a morning.
I'm not so sure.
Thistle are funny. Thistle went very close. They went to that penalty shootout with Ross County 12 months ago, and I don't think they're as strong this season. They've lost Ross Docherty, they've lost Kevin Holt, who both went to Dundee United and helped United win that league, and yet they finished third when they were fourth last season, if you know what I mean. So they'll have as good a chance as any against Airdrie, beat them 4-0 at Firhill a couple of weeks ago. It's then Raith Rovers, it's then probably St Johnston, and Brian Graham will fancy himself to score goals in those fixtures, because he's got 20 already this season, and he's just one of these. At 36, he looks as dangerous as he's ever looked.
I'd quite like to. I mean, I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but I'd quite like to see one of the clubs go up, Airdrie or Partick.
Just because you don't want to travel too far for away days next season.
No, Partick, great fan base, great following, travel up and down away numbers in any Airdrie for the football we play.
No, you're meant to say, because then you get a proper Lanarkshire derby. I was so sure that's what you were going to say.
I thought that was just Hamilton. And,
oh my word! Honestly, did they not educate you when you sign?
No.
Oh no! Airdrie. Oh my goodness!
Well, yeah.
What do you mean as well? Oh, above Hamilton.
Is it?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Honestly, I never knew that. I thought it was Hamilton.
Any Motherwell fans of the 80s and early 90s and so on want to phone Andy and just tell him how that works.
Well, there you go then. There's another good reason for it.
Yes.
I mean, you talk about good stories. Airdrie coming up would be an incredible story, well, the thing given is, where they were when Rhys McCabe,
I was going to say,
you
can't do it, and it's the problem with the timing. But forget, you know, the sort of Clement Rogers debate. Rhys McCabe's manager of the year if he brings Airdrie up.
Yeah.
But you know, but we gave it out last night, and well done to John McGlynn, because he was a worthy winner as well. Let's go to John, who's in Blantyre. How are you, John?
I'm fine, thanks.
What are you thinking tonight?
Sorry, I'm eating a piece of here.
What kind?
Yeah, what's your topping of choice before we go any further?
Sorry?
What's your topping of choice?
I seen Joe Rogan eating that ham and cheese, a ham and pineapple pizza last night, so.
Hang up, John. Hang up.
Oh, John. We were getting on so well.
I'm with you, John. I'm with
you're
you.
Joking. You're joking.
No.
I thought you were cultured.
That's disgusting.
Remember, my wife's family are like Italian heritage. I'd get kicked out.
Chicken and pineapple, that's worse.
I'm completely with you, John. John, ignore these fruit. Culinary snobs. Culinary snobs. Halliday and Duncan.
Fling a couple of strawberries on there as well.
I don't understand. Like, Brendan's getting some abuse here. Right now, as a Celtic supporter, right, I'm delighted how that. I mean, considering we've been bang average for half the season, and we're still going to win the league, and the Rangers. This has been going on for years, maybe. I don't know why they just don't tell me, shut up and just they are talking to the pitch. they'll be going out saying we're the best team in Scotland. Well, you obviously know the best team in Scotland until you're in the league. And Clermont, to be talking about any day, he couldn't shake that boy's hand. And the statement saying we deserve to win 2-1 more than he deserves to win 2-1, I don't even know what that means. Somebody will need to explain that to me.
Oh, last week I think he sort of tried to reference that Celtic struggled more against Dundee than Rangers did against St Mirren. This is why stuff like this excites you and frustrates Andy Halliday, because what are we doing? Like, will we just now go over every comment that was made previously and say, he shouldn't have said that because he said that? Yeah, but he said that because that guy said that before.
Well, yesterday, Gordon, I quite liked this story, and now I absolutely love it.
Andy's hating it more with every minute, loving it more with every minute.
We'll keep this going till 12:30 on Saturday with a bit of luck. It's absolutely fantastic. And I don't mind it. You know, when earlier in the season, when Cyril Dessers said if Rangers play the way they can play, they're the best team in the country. Terrific. Fair play to him. If he wants to say that, fill your boots, Cyril, because it will keep us going for days and days and days, and people will have a pop back, etc., etc. When Craig Levein said, as we mentioned earlier on with Andy, natural order in Edinburgh, fantastic. I think it's great when people have the confidence in themselves, in their teammates, in their club, to come out and make statements like that. And I do tend to think they're setting themselves up at times, but who cares?
Yeah, I mean, lots of tweets on this as well. Third Frame says Clermont says he would never say anything like that about an opponent, then says the same thing, we'll have fun too. Not one person in the media has pulled him up for that instant hypocrisy. I am slowly beginning to lose track, I have to say, but Third Frame is right,
we're having fun,
we're all being held to account, which I don't mind. That is absolutely fine on Twitter or on the phones. I'm going to try and indulge. Well, here's a question for you. Would you rather take wall-to-wall calls on this between now and 8 o'clock or eat one slice of chicken and pineapple pizza?
Wall-to-wall calls all day long.
I think it's vile. I am defending John here.
That's nonsense.
So you like chicken? You're quite often a man of protein. You're a protein man.
Chicken.
Do you like pineapple?
You sound like Joey from Friends.
Yeah. No.
Do you know what else I like? It doesn't mean they go together.
Yeah, I like chocolate as well when they have a slice of pizza.
Ridiculous comparison.
So why don't you have a chicken and pineapple?
Because it's fruit.
Sweet. It's sweet fruit. Don't want that in a pizza.
Sweet and sour things you would eat.
Nah, just honestly, behave.
There's no way to defend.
Do you have pineapple in a sweet and sour dish?
No, I don't. I would pick that out as well.
I'll leave John to his pizza. Thank you very much, John. Patrick, bring this
crazy
back.
Crazy people.
Bring it back to football, Patrick. We're about to lose Andy Halliday, I suspect, which might be a success for some listeners, but bring it back to football.
How's it going, guys? How are you?
Good.
Hey, Patrick.
Good. Guys, no, I just wanted to say that I was at the game Saturday and I just thought Celtic back to their best. And I'm absolutely super confident going into the game on Saturday. But I think why Brendan Rodgers is so successful in this game is I think he absolutely takes nothing for granted. Whereas Philip, come on, Rodgers has just been in his head for most of the season. And as I say, and I agree with Rodgers says, I think Forrest and Maeda will start on Saturday. Because again, I think Maeda is in Tavernier's head. And I'm really totally looking forward to the game on Saturday. Can't wait for it.
What in particular, Andy, did you notice about Celtic's performance at the weekend that was impressive to people like Patrick?
I've said it a few times. I think Celtic at their best, it's playing with a high intensity that other teams struggle to cope with, whether that's fast starts, players running behind, power, pace. And I think a big factor of that is when Rio Hatate's in the team, because that's what he brings, and Callum McGregor when he's fit. Now, I think most Celtic fans will agree since he's came back for his injury, Callum McGregor, I just don't think he's looked fit. I think you can almost see with the way he's running, mm-hmm. It seems as if he's holding back a little bit. But I thought he was back to his best again at the weekend as well. I thought Hatate was excellent. And like I touched on, Kyogo, for a player like Kyogo to be playing up front, you have to play to his strengths. You have to utilise his movement in the box, the way he wants to play in the last line of defence, running in behind. And I think they did that a lot better at the weekend. And I think when you combine them all together, the fact that Carter Vickers and Liam Scales played really well at the back as well and gave them a solid platform to build on, then I think Celtic are going to be very, very difficult to beat, and they're hitting the right form at the right moment in time. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember the last time that Celtic have had all these players available going into a game, and next weekend against Rangers they're going to have that.
That I thought was quite interesting. Did you hear Brendan Rodgers' comments specifically about Callum McGregor on Friday about his rehab?
No.
So he said, he went into quite a lot of detail, I think, which managers might not often do, was that he's been focusing so much on rehabbing his Achilles that it has left him a bit leggy going into games. Mm-hmm. So we've not done that this week, and he looks sharper, and he'll be sharper this week. And then he like so obviously was.
It
was
lighter on his feet, did he say?
Yeah. So it was such such a very accurate prediction of what was about to take place.
I mean, I would probably need to listen to the interview fully, but just it maybe tells me that he's not been on the grass much because they've been really focusing on getting his Achilles right, so doing a lot more gym work, rehab and treatment and what that may be. So he's obviously, by the sounds, it seems as if he's been on the grass a bit more, training a bit more. And I thought it was evident, because I think everyone would agree the sort of two or three performances that he looked a bit off at. And one thing Callum McGregor's always had that maybe goes under the radar is he's got a shift in gear. He's got a powerful run within him, and you could see that with that, you know, the clip that everyone's seen with the way he sort of tracks back and makes that last ditch challenge to Kenneth Vargas. I think 2 weeks ago, I don't think Callum McGregor gets there, because I just don't think he was running as smoothly, as quickly, as seamlessly as he was. I think you've seen that in a couple of previous games. But listen, Celtic are in a good place going into next weekend. I don't think anyone will underestimate the return of Dyson Mayhew either, because we've seen what he can do in this fixture. And I always say this going into these games, I think Celtic have 10 starters nailed on. I think Rangers maybe have 5 or 6. I think the only question mark is, like Roger touched on earlier, is it James Forrest or Nicholas Kidd?
Rangers might be forced to have a bit more of a predictable team this time, though, I suppose, absolutely, due to injuries. But thank you to Patrick. I'm going to have to take a breather because I'm just losing my train of thought. Paul's tweeted to say, Roger is spot on. Tuna mayo with pineapple is a game changer.
Honestly,
get a restraining order out on these two. I've had enough. Get your calls in right now, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna in the building. 0141 951 1025. And it's that time of the night when we look to you, because you've got the superior football knowledge, no doubt about it. You send in the questions, the pundits try and answer them. So let's do it.
The Full Time Teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
It is incidentally a good time to call as well. Social media was awash with claim and counterclaim and complaints and all sorts about some of the big calls in the Rangers Kilmarnock game. None of you phoned about it yet, so if you want to put that right, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let me give you this teaser first though. Thanks to Grant McIver, not sure, we'll go for one of the above. Can you name the last three Celtic this is very specific, the last three Celtic players to open the scoring in an Old Firm game at Ibrox, and the last three Rangers players to open the scoring in an Old Firm game at Celtic Park?
Dyson Mayhew.
Yeah, so I'll just repeat one more time. Can you name the last three Celtic players to open the scoring in an Old Firm game at Ibrox, and the last three Rangers players to open the scoring in an Old Firm game at Celtic Park? Dyson Mayhew is recent, of course. Any from you, Andy?
Kyogo.
Yep, we'll leave it there, because that's you two already, with only four to get. So I think we can get them before the end of the show. We got, as you well know, Andy Halliday quite wrapped up in what Philippe Clement said and what Brendan Rodgers had said and so on. What about the game, you know, at Ibrox yesterday, the performance, the result, you know, all that sort of stuff? What did you take away from it? Can you take away when it's such an early dismissal?
I actually thought Rangers started the game very well. The first sort of 5, 10, 15 minutes had a few opportunities. Dessers could have got on the score sheet very early. They had a lot of pressure, a lot of crosses into the box, a lot of territorial advantage, and then Kilmarnock obviously get the goal from not even a shot on target. It was really their first foray up the pitch. But of course the game then completely changes on the red card. I thought David Dickinson got his decision spot on. Not to, when he got sent over at the VAR screen, not to award the penalty for the handball by was it Ndaba? Was it Ndaba? I thought he got it spot on. I don't think that was a penalty at all.
And we always say that, oh, come on, stand by your decision, yeah, don't get swayed.
And I thought he was correct in doing so. And then I thought on the basis of the rules, I thought the decision was correct to send off Joe Wright and give a penalty to Rangers as well. I was then really surprised, I must say. I think if Rangers are to win the league, which I don't think they will, I think it's going to be by goal difference. I think that's their best opportunity to do so. So I was really surprised with their reaction to scoring goals. I just thought to myself, go and grab the ball at the net, go back to the kickoff and try and score another goal and try and claw back the deficit and goal difference as quickly as you can. Didn't really seem as if there was that much urgency to do so. But listen, they end up getting 4-1. You said at the top of the show, it was as you were. I don't think that's going to be of benefit to Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, the game obviously, I don't know if hinges is the right word, because I don't know if Kilmarnock going to get anything, I've no idea. Yeah. But it's a massive moment, the sending off. We do this thing, we do it all season where we go, you know, it's the rules are wrong and then the rules are harsh. Ultimately, you can't really build a case for that not being a sending off, can you? It's just, it's one of those things that players like Andy just need to take in the
chin. It's unfortunate. A couple of folks said to me, oh, is that a double jeopardy thing? You know, it's a penalty and no, it's a red card.
Not for denying a goal scorer.
Not for a dog, though, did you talk about Gordon? No.
I saw that as well. That's conflating two different things, unfortunately.
It is harsh, but I think the rule, it's a harsh rule.
And it's not like every single time a ball hits a hand on the line, it's going to be a sending off. And we've said it before, because there's so much going on and it might be quite instinctive, or you're moving your body in a certain way, you might need a bit of luck to almost, you know, if Joe Wright's hand was tucked in against his body and it get hit, or even if he's fortunate enough that it hits him above the t-shirt line, because we've seen some of them in Scotland this season, it hits you above the t-shirt line, then it wouldn't be the penalty, it wouldn't be the sending off. It just, very unfortunately for Joe Wright, with loads of sympathy for him, had that combination of outstretched, below t-shirt line, going in the net. Mm-hmm. And it's so like harsh in terms of, you feel for him and the impact it has in the game, but it's not harsh in the sense that it goes against the rules. It's always hard to predict, like I say, but how much of an impact did that have?
Oh, it did.
I mean, it has to, doesn't it?
Purely because I know Rangers are at home, I know they're at Ibrox, but I think if you're going to go down 1-0 to any team outside of Celtic, you don't want it to be Kilmarnock, because you know the way Derek McInnes' team set up, they're very difficult to play against at the best of times. I know Rangers came back and won 2-1 when they went 1-0 down at Rugby Park, but, you know, Derek McInnes' teams are always very well organised. And after Kilmarnock scored to make it 1-0, I thought Rangers then struggled for the next sort of 10-15 minutes to break Kilmarnock down, create many clear-cut chances. But then obviously that red card and penalty ultimately makes it a lot easier and a lot more a comfortable afternoon for Rangers. And in the end, what was it, 41 shots? So obviously it was almost like a sort of training game after that, especially when Rangers went 2-1 up, because they just sort of peppered Kilmarnock's box for the rest of the game.
Just to state the obvious, Roger, what it does do is, although Celtic's goal difference skews this slightly, I don't know if we're quite in it's worth an extra point territory. Yeah. I don't know if it's quite enough for that, but for the last two games, Rangers definitely haven't been at their best. Celtic not at Dundee, a lot better against Hearts. For many, it was all about arriving into this game next weekend in that same position where Rangers have the chance. Are Celtic favourites? Yes. Do most people expect Celtic? Even Rangers fans seem to think Celtic will win or avoid defeat. Oh. Yes, but they still have within 190 minutes the chance to go level in points.
I'll give you a variation of what Mark and Hugh said in the show on Saturday. You know, if Celtic can't beat Hearts, blah, blah, blah. If Rangers can't beat Celtic in four league games this season, they don't deserve to be champions. So this is their last chance. The goal difference, it'll only come down to goal difference. If they're level in points, they'll only be level in points if Rangers can win at Celtic Park on Saturday lunchtime. And if Rangers do win at Celtic Park, then the goal difference will come down to maybe 3, maybe 1, and then suddenly goal difference becomes a thing. I don't think goal difference is a thing at the minute while Celtic are 3 points clear.
Let's bring in Alan, who's on the line. How are you, Alan?
How you doing, guys? Very well. How are you?
Yeah, all good. What did you take away from that weekend then?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see Rangers winning, as much as it pains me to say it. But I was calling basically on the back of the kind of chat about Brendan Rodgers said he was going to have fun. I honestly don't think he's meant anything by it. I really don't. But what I take issue with as a Rangers fan is like Clement coming out and saying, you know, oh, we're going to have fun, this kind of tit for tat. And I know it's kind of part and parcel of the kind of psychological game, but I don't want to see a Rangers manager commenting on what Brendan Rodgers is saying, because I think if you do have an issue with it, you just pin it to the board, you know, let the players see, and you deal with it internally. It's the same with, was it Dessers when he came out and said, you know, we're the best team, you know, we're so much better than Celtic. All that's doing is giving them ammunition, and I don't really want to talk about them. I want to just talk about Rangers and just get these guys focused and getting them up for the match, rather than getting involved in all that. Because right now, I think Brendan Rodgers is loving it. He's not meant anything at the time, but I think now looking back, he's saying, ah, well, I've got under his skin with that comment. So, yeah, it's just.
What did you? So, what do you think they're doing the talking on the pitch? But what does that look like for Rangers at the moment? Why are you lacking that confidence? You personally, well, I mean, I don't mean the team.
Yeah, no, you know, I've been called by some of my mates a bit of a pessimist on it. I would love nothing more than to see us stuff them and just kind of put a gas at a lot of the Celtic fans' people at the moment. But I don't see any evidence for it. We've not beaten them for 2 years, and we really just need to get back to basics and kind of grab games by the scruff of the neck, which we're not doing. We've not bet Celtic this season. I heard Roger just say before I came in there, you know, if we don't go a season without beating Celtic, then we don't deserve to win the league. And on the evidence, we've not done that. We're not good enough. And as annoying as it is to say, it's fact, you know. But listen, I'll be the first one to be celebrating if we get it over the line.
Again, I think there's time in the rest of the week to properly debate who'll start and who won't. In the last couple of months, there's been a real interesting kind of, is it what the makeup of Rangers midfield? Mm-hmm. Can you go Cantwell and Lawrence? It's usually one of them. Which one? Philippe Clement has picked Lawrence in some of the bigger games. Cantwell's shown some flashes. Lawrence comes on and does that yesterday. Do one of them really need to take one game by the scruff of the neck for a start and run the game, and then do that for, you know, a few weeks on end?
Yeah, you know what, Gordon, I don't know. I don't know who, if it was down to one, I don't know who I would choose to pick over the other. I think there is an argument that you could play both purely because Rangers have to win the game. So then do you sacrifice a Dujon Sterling and maybe play him left back because you've got a more natural attacking forward thinking player in that area of the pitch to go and, you know, score a goal? Dujon Sterling scored his first career goal last month against Benfica. He's never scored a goal before. So you've got him in one of your front three positions. So the fact that you have to win the game, I think there is an argument of playing both. But Roger said that a couple of minutes ago, and it was right. Rangers, with the injuries they've got, they're almost forced to play certain players just now, whether form comes into it or not. I think Fabio Silva has been a beneficiary of that. I think if Abdelhassima is fit or Matondo's fit, I don't think he's played the run of games that he's had recently. So listen, I think it's very, very difficult as it stands to predict who will play for Rangers. You know, they're also an argument, is any back? Is Matondo back? I've seen a couple of murmurs that he's potentially back for the game next weekend. I'm not too sure, but you know almost for certainty 5 or 6 that are going to play for Rangers, whereas you know 10 nailed on for Celtic.
The goal of the season winner, incidentally, that one's a bit different. It's voted for by the fans. The cynic would say that therefore it tends to be a Celtic or Rangers winner, but I wouldn't want to upset our dear colleague Fraser Wishart, and I'm not taking anything away from Robbie Matondo, whose goal against Celtic was very good. He won it last night, Roger, which means he did interviews and he just kind of kept his cards close to his chest on whether he'll be fit. He didn't say there's no chance, but it was one of those working on it, working hard and trying and all that sort of stuff. So that would at least be an option. I don't think even
it would be an option off the bench.
I don't even think the most optimistic Rangers fans are saying Robbie Matondo is the guy that saves the title hopes or anything like that. But it just means that you might not have to play Dujon Sterling there. You might not have to rely on Fabio Silva.
I wonder if Sterling will play up on the right. I just wonder if there's room for Lawrence and Cantwell at the expense of Fabio Silva. Maybe shunt Cantwell out. You would imagine Yilmaz got on for the last few minutes yesterday. Does Yilmaz come in for Borna Barisic? Then you've got Yilmaz and Cantwell up that side. Is it Davis and Suter Balogun off precautionary at half time yesterday. Is he going to be fit? We know Conor Goldson won't be fit. So interesting, as we both say, interesting selection dilemmas for Philippe Clement.
Yes, Conor Goldson spotted in the stand with a knee brace on. If the speculation is to be believed, then we've seen the last of him in a Rangers shirt, but who knows?
If the speculation is true, then yeah, because it seems as if you're in a knee brace with three league games to go. Two league games to go, and not.
Did you mean forever, girl?
Three league games to go.
What do you mean?
And
what are you asking
Scottish
me?
Cup final.
Did you mean forever? When you say not see him in a Rangers shirt,
yeah, I'm saying that the speculation about, because his season's over.
Yeah. 2 years left in his deal.
Philippe Clement said his season's over, so I'm not. Yeah. So I guess the question mark now is, does he leave in the summer?
Well, if the speculation is true, like you said, then
what do you think about
potentially,
that?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, it's kind of last week's story a bit, but now that we've seen him with the knee brace on and stuff, I just wonder if you could you see him leaving?
I can now, considering, listen, he was dropped before it came out that he was injured for the rest of the season, so that wouldn't surprise me. I think everyone's got their price. How old's Conor Goldson now? 31, 32. So if Rangers got a suitable offer, which the speculation saying that clubs are interested, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, 01419511025. Thank you to Alan. Anyone get any thoughts on Lauren Shankland winning player of the year, Livingston being relegated, or anything else that's out there? Give us a call and we'll do our best to get you on. How are you two faring though?
Ooh.
On this teaser, it's a fairly short one for you, so can you name the last three Celtic players to open the scoring in an Old Firm game at Ibrox, and the last three Rangers players to open the scoring at Celtic Park? So Maeda and Keogh will go for Celtic.
Conor Goldson?
No. The Rangers list is harder, I have to say.
Oh, I'd Ryan Kent down for
yes.
one.
Yes. I don't like when Andy does this, because his memory tends to be really good, and if he thinks it is one and then he pulls that face,
Conor Goldson,
it means I'll need to look
Conor
up.
Goldson was after Ryan Kent in 2-0-1 at Celtic Park.
Was it not earlier?
Anyway, I'll tell you what, I'll do a steward's inquiry for you. I don't mind that.
Ryan Kent 2-1 when Nico Katic got the header.
I don't mind a steward's inquiry. I'll do that for you. And whilst you get your calls in right now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to squeeze calls in if you're that way inclined. We'll try and tidy up some of the must talk about points before the end of the show, but as usual we run out of time on a Monday. Can you name the last three Celtic players to open the scoring in an Old Firm game at Ibrox, and the last three Rangers players to do it at Celtic Park? Maeda, Kyogo, Kent. Having assessed your claim, Conor Goldson is one. 2-0, wasn't it? So we'll give you Conor Goldson. So it means you've only got one from each team. Let's just give me one name, because we've got to the end of the show.
Tom Rogic.
Nope.
Oh, it's an Edward.
Yes. Okay, so they've still got the Rangers one to get, and we'll try and get it before the end of the show. We have alluded to it a couple of times throughout the show, mostly down to fashion choices and behaviour on the night. But what did you make of Lauren Shankland being named Premiership Player of the Year, Andy? You voted for him, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. For me, fully deserved. For a number of reasons. I think at the time of the votes, I thought he was an outstanding candidate. I think since then he's scored 1-8, is that right, in the league? Which is not the formula used to be Lauren Shankland, but I mean, massive goals. He scored at Ibrox, he scored at Celtic Park, he scored at Easter Road, he scored at Pittodrie. He scored massive goals at, what is he, 25 plus again this season. And again, it does beg the question, where would Hearts be in the league if it wasn't for Lauren Shankland? I know they're sitting very comfortably in third position, but he scored over 50% of their goals, and I thought he was outstanding candidate.
You thought on Saturday, Roger, that Matt O'Reilly would perhaps pip him to it, Shankland?
I said it would push it. David Friel said Matt O'Reilly would pip him. I said I thought it would be quite a close run race, I think it was, and I think Lauren Shankland deserves it. He's got 29 goals this season for club and country. He has been captain of Hearts in the absence of Craig Gordon. He's led Hearts to third place by a country mile. He has cemented his place in Steve Clarke's plans for the Euros. And you know, when you look at his story, a guy who was released by Aberdeen, he had four sort of loan spells, he bounced about, he didn't have a club, he went and signed for United when they were in League One. And it has been not unbridled success. You think of the spell in Belgium, but he has dug in. He has made every single thing he can make from his ability, and good luck to the lad.
David Watson, did you vote for him for Young Player of the Year?
Yes.
You're lying?
Maybe.
Who did you vote for then?
You're not allowed to vote for Lennon Miller, are you?
No.
Not allowed to vote for your own teammates. Who did you vote for then?
Do you know what? I can't remember, but I'll hold my hands up. I'm prone to a tactical vote to get my teammate to win, no doubt. But I think I did actually vote David Watson.
Right, okay.
But maybe, I've done it before where I want my teammate to win that award. Who's the guy that's closest to him? He's not getting voted for. But I think I did do it with David Watson. I wouldn't do that to young players.
Just do it to the older ones.
The older ones, I did. Me
he voted for Shankland and he won. But David Watson, again,
he's had a fantastic season. You know what? I think of Lennon Miller. I love him to bits. But David Watson's had a brilliant season. He was a mainstay in Kilmarnock's team for a long period of time. He's found himself sort of in and out recently, but he's been a massive part of it. He scored some big goals as well, which has been a big thing. You can see that he's added to his game. Whereas
very
Lennon,
good goals as well.
Yeah, he has. We're still getting on Lennon with it. With somebody the ability you've got when you play in the pitch, you need to start scoring more goals. David Watson's managed to do that this season. You quite rightly pointed out a couple of really good goals as well. He's won at St Mirna just a couple of weeks ago. He's won at Pittodrie in the last minute. They got them the win up there. So listen, he's you can't complain. He's been a deserving winner.
And look, we said the managerial one was so much more difficult, Roger, because in theory, well, more than in theory, Philippe Clement can still win a treble. Brendan Rodgers might win the league, so it's tough to pick manager. Tony Dock had done great things. He was on the list. It's a good achievement getting in the top six. Derek McInnes, Killier going to Europe. But I don't think a huge surprise to see John McGlynn win League One at a canter, unbeaten season.
Invincible. And they've done terrifically well. You can argue, listen, Falkirk could probably get the biggest budget in that league. That doesn't guarantee you any success at all. I think they've been down there for 4 years. I'm actually glad to see Falkirk coming back up. It is a meritocracy, but you want clubs with the support Falkirk have got, 7,000 plus at the game at the weekend. You want teams like that playing your higher levels. They will be a valued addition to the Championship next season, and so will John McGlynn. I think he started the season as the oldest manager until the likes of Neil Warnock came in for a period of time, and he has done terrifically well. Delighted for him that he got his award last night. And listen, Falkirk could do okay in that Championship next season.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they had a right good run in the Championship next year, to be honest.
John McGlincible, says producer John. Honestly, he's been working on that all weekend.
Is that what he's been doing all weekend?
All season, just
I don't
try
know if it's worse that or the pineapple and pizza.
I think that's actually pips it. Final, and by the way, well done to all the other award winners. Rachel Rowe was Women's Player of the Year, Mia McCauley, Young Women's Player, Joe Potter, Women's Manager as well. So lots of worthy award winners on the night. That was a Rangers trio in the women's categories. Finish on Livingston, Roger. It's been coming. It was a matter of time. But their 6 year stint in the top flight is over. Yes, I know everyone has a grumble about the pitch, but just let's be a bit more positive. They've really contributed to the top flight in the last 6 seasons, constantly punching above their weight. This is the first season that they've even really come close to relegation. You look at some of the shocks, you look at some of the players that they've had who've gone on. I said this at the weekend, guys like Declan Gallagher who've gone to major competitions with Scotland, Lyndon Dykes, Andy's teammates, Liam Kelly, Craig Halkett. Just constantly battling against the odds, and eventually it became too much for them.
It did become too much, innit? If we talk about Falkirk being down the leagues with that big crowd, big fan base that they've got, the first time ever, Livy have been 6 consecutive years in the top flight. They have punched above their weight. They don't have a big fan base there. I think there was only 1,500 there to watch them beat Ross County a week past on Saturday. David Martindale has worked the oracle there for a period of time, but a club that size can only do that for so long. They'll come back down, they will regroup. I think it'll be a very tough Championship next season because, as Andy said, you know, Falkirk will come in and do something. There wasn't much between a lot of the teams in the middle of that league. Maybe Raith will be there, maybe Partick, maybe Airdrie will be there again. You never know. You might have St Johnstone or Ross County down there with you. It'll be a tough old league for Davy Martindale next season.
Oh, it's that relegation playoff spot in the Premiership. There is a lot of road to travel there. And of course, the Championship teams get underway tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. Right, let's finish off on the teaser. Thanks to Grant McIver for sending this in. Three Celtic players to open the scoring at Ibrox, and the last three Rangers players to open the scoring at Celtic Park. You've completed the Celtic set: Maeda, Kyogo and Edward. Rangers: Ryan Kent, Conor Goldson and...
Is it Morelos?
No, we're going much further back.
Sorry?
We're going much further back.
Tell me it's Kuzan.
Mark Wilson's nightmare.
Tell me it's that.
Yes.
Is it?
Oh, no way. You know something?
Any excuse to bring it up.
I nearly brought up, did you see Simon Murray hitting the post at Dingwall on Saturday? It was exact same as the Daniel Kuzan, except it didn't go in. It just hit the post and ran along the line.
Do you know what I think it is? Maybe that's why Mark Wilson... Have you heard about Mark Wilson's treadmill exploits?
No.
I've been talking about this a lot on the show. He's running 18-minute 5Ks on the treadmill.
No way.
Like, as in, not 18:50, 18 minutes dead.
No way.
5Ks on the treadmill.
It would be 80% 90%
but apparently
footballs.
What he does, you know, some people listen to loud music or whatever. He's got a picture of Daniel Kuzan on the treadmill, and he just imagines that he's trying to...
Is that true? Right enough, he does 18 minutes. Yeah. That's incredible.
The man's taking his fitness seriously these days.
He would blow me out the
he's
water.
He's planning a comeback.
He was looking good last night in that grey velvet jacket until Fraser Wishart sashayed in.
I heard his card tricks were brilliant as well.
Overshadowed him. Anyway, that is almost us. Thank you to Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah. Thank you, most importantly of all, same every night, because we mean it every night. For those of you who get in touch, whether that's in the phones or on Twitter, really help us move the discussion on and get into some of the talking points. So we really appreciate it. And of course, those of you who keep us company listening as well. We will be back tomorrow. It's quite a big week. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're building up to quite a big fixture in this part of the world. So we'll continue that tomorrow from 6. But in the meantime, you would be as well staying right there, because Callum is up and he's got tickets to give away to Clyde One Live. Enjoy the rest of your night.